everyone, you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley, and today it is a review show of the week, or preview show, should I say, of the weekend's Allianz Football League games. We'll talk a bit about the LGFA and Camogie as well later on in the chat, seeing as both of us have way more time in our hands nowadays. Hopefully, the assignments start to finish and stuff sooner rather than later. Obviously, I'm delighted to be joined by Seamus Brady from Auclair, as usual, to preview this weekend's action. A load of interesting games happening, including Derry against Dublin on Saturday evening. I'm sure Seamus will keep an eye on that. When it arrives, you have Mayo against Roscommon at Connacht Derby. You've Kerry welcoming Tyrone to Killarney. And you also have a relegation four-pointer in Galway against Monaghan. And we'll also discuss Division 2, 3 and 4 as well. So, Seamus, how have you been over the last few days? Like, it's another weekend of Allianz League action this weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm buzzing for our match. Thank you for having me on again. Looking forward to diving into previewing these games. It's a big weekend. Like, no doubt about it, it's last weekend feels like it was massive. I mean, Dublin very much turned from kind of looking the way towards the relegation to starting to look up now towards potential finishing in the top two. And like the tables, like we looked at it on my show when we were doing the review, like it's crazy how many teams are on 4 points. And you were saying, and I agree with you, that I think Derry are the only team in Division One that are safe from relegation, which is absolutely crazy to think when you already pretty much have, like, your 4 games done. Teams have been taking points off each other left, right and centre. Roscommon beating Monaghan, Monaghan beating Dublin, Dublin beating Kerry. Like, all these situations popping up. And it's just crazy. So, like, this weekend is a massive one. We've got Dublin going to play against Derry. And that's obviously the big game, because the question is, will Derry remain as the only team with a 100% record in Division One? Like, Dublin might be the only team that can stop them. Dublin beat them handy last year in the Division Two final, but obviously going up to Celtic Park is different. Dublin lost there last year in the Division Two normal league campaign. So it's very, very interesting to see how that will go. I'm buzzing for it. I can't wait to dive in now.
Exactly so. And it's going to be a very exciting weekend of Allianz League action. And before we get into the Allianz League with the usual segment of the week in Gaelic games, and only one story really this week, and it is Congress 2024. And there was quite a lot that happened. Probably the main thing that did happen was Jarvis Burns from Armagh being elected the new GAA president, the 41st GAA president after Larry McCarthy's reign as president. And yeah, there was a lot of good quotes from Jarlath and a lot of positivity being branded about in this Congress for 2024. Probably the only Congress in the last few seasons that has gained a lot of positivity in many ways. And there was a lot of new rules being brought in, new motions and things like that. And obviously Jarlath's speech about promoting hurling, the football committee led by Jim Gavitt, of course. I think James Horne is on that as well. Colm Nally's on it, which is absolutely brilliant to see, a statistician. So it's absolutely brilliant to see that sort of, you know, forward bit of thinking for the GAA in many ways. And it was a busy day in Congress, as I mentioned there. There was a few motions that were carried out. The main ones that I've listed down here, all cards picked up in normal time carrying to extra time in this year's inter-county championships passed by 87%. So that includes yellow cards, red cards and black cards. And that's a big rule for the GAA, considering I remember a few seasons ago with Kilcoo and St. Finbar's at the club championship, Kilcoo getting a guy sent off, and then Kilcoo were reverted back to 15 men once extra time goes. And that was a ridiculous rule in its own.
There was a famous incident as well with Mick Lyons where he knew he could get away with hitting somebody and then he got a red card and came straight back on as well. I think that was in a game years ago. And that used to happen where if players knew that they could come back on for extra time, they just get a red card in the last minute of the game and get a slap off on someone who had annoyed them the entire game and then come back on for extra time anyway. So it's crazy that they didn't sort that rule out back then, but again, great to see.
It is brilliant to see. And another few motions that came out were the Cork motion, it was named, to relax the eligibility of players lining out for the under-20 and senior inter-county championships. That was passed. Obviously, there was a whole foray about that last season with Owen Downey not playing for the under-20s and the seniors in the same week. You had a few instances with Down and Derry as well. Lachlan Murray, a main example, playing in an Ulster championship game and couldn't play for the under-20s, which probably led to Derry losing that under 20 final to Down. But that motion says that from next year and applicable at all levels, players will be permitted to play at both levels, providing the game don't fall within the same 60-hour period. So that's within 2 days, more or less. So that was a good rule to be brought in as well. There was the Armagh motion for players who verbally abuse match officials would now be liable to a minimum of a 2-match ban. Before we get into the other motion, Seamus, I know you're an advocate for that. That's a brilliant motion to be brought in.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. It's something that we just should implement. I personally would take it to the step of like almost bring it to rugby levels where only the captain is allowed to speak to the referee. Like that, if a player even speaks to the ref, yellow card. You know what I mean? You can't, because even if you're being sound to the ref, even if you're like being nice to him and everything like that, you can be trying to charm him into giving you a decision when it really matters. Do you know what I mean? And like that, there's a skill in getting the umpires on your side. There's a skill in getting the linesman on your side. There's a skill in getting the referee on your side. And so personally, especially in the big inter-county games, I would go, okay, Stephen Cluxon is the captain of Dublin. David Clifford is the captain of Kerry. Like this is for last year's final, for example. They are the only two that are allowed to speak to the referee. So if somebody has a problem with how David Goff is refereeing the game, they go through their captain to complain to the referee. Because, for example, Dublin Roscommon, and look, Conor Callaghan is pretty stand-up bloke. I've never really seen him do anything dirty in the GAA ever. But he got a harsh free given against them in the Roscommon game where he was adjudged to have pushed Brian Stack. I don't think he did, but that's besides the point. He was talking to the referee for honestly about 30 to 45 seconds about why that wasn't a free and protesting the decision. That doesn't go in rugby. That doesn't fly in rugby. He's off the pitch if he does that in rugby. And I'm not saying that we should give sweeping power like that, that if you even speak to the ref, you're off. But that if you speak to the ref is like, up, 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 go to your captain. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't want to hear that. That's fine, because it shuts down abuse at the refs again. And if it's verbal abuse, and like a good way to get around it is to pick up the mic, is to just get the mic on them. And if they swear or call names or anything like that, I agree with you. 2-match ban, absolute minimum.
Exactly so, and I couldn't agree more with that. And another motion that was kind of disappointing, actually, one of the few motions that was disappointing. Fermanagh have withdrawn the motion to return the All-Ireland Minor Football Championship Finals to All-Ireland Senior Football Championship Final Day. Like, this is a tradition, Seamus. So one day in the future, would you love to see the All-Ireland Minor Championship go before the Senior Championship? Or have you liked the way it's gone over the last few seasons where it's kind of a standalone event and they play at regional grounds, let's just say Dotheroy Park or Nolan Park or wherever, rather than the big stadium in Croke Park?
I think it's there's positives definitely in both. Like, there definitely is positives in both, but for me personally, like if I was a minor footballer under 20, obviously I'm 22 now, the day to play under 20 has passed me by. But when I was 19, 20, if you told me, do you want to play the minor final with Dublin? Do you want to play it in Croke Park or do you want to play it in O'Connor Park? Croke Park. Every day of the week. I don't even care if it's an empty Croke Park. If you play a match in Croke Park, if you play a national final in Croke Park and if you win, or even just to get to go onto the grass and play, you have reached a level that so many people can only dream of. And while the standalone event is incredible for the atmosphere that it will develop in the stadium and everything like that, every player dreams of playing in Croke Park. And for a lot of the minor players and the under 20 players, they actually don't progress on to senior level. So it's a massive opportunity for them to play in Croke Park before they go abroad, before they drop out, before they don't make it. Like it's a perfect chance. And then on top of that, it's just a genuinely enjoyable spectacle as well to watch. I don't see what the harm is in putting it on before, because I distinctly remember watching the Dublin versus Mayo 2017 final and Kerry played Derry just before it, and David Clifford scored 4 goals. And I remember watching Clifford in that minor final being like, holy, like, if this guy doesn't get poached by the AFL, we're in for you're in for a hell of a player here. And lo and behold, he's gone on to become what he's become. But that is like, it's always been a really cool way to see who's coming. Like, for example, the 2011 final, first final I went to as a young lad to watch Dublin v Kerry. The minor final was on before, Dublin versus Tipperary. Never forget it, because Dublin were miles ahead. Kieran Kilkenny, Paul Mannion, Cormac Costello, John Small were all in that team. Tipperary had Michael Quinlivan, Colin O'Riordan, I think Bill Maher, Liam McGraw was in that team as well. And they came back. And I remember Coleman Kennedy. Coleman Kennedy stuck it in the top corner. And that was that. I remember being heartbroken for the lads that they had lost it. But the minor final was always a very nice way to kind of build yourself up to the senior final. And now it's like we don't even do anything before the senior final. So it's not like we've replaced it with something. We literally haven't replaced it with anything. So I would like to see it returned to the day before the senior. No, the day of the senior final. Have the minor final on. And by the way, across the board. So I'd like the minor hurling final to be on before the senior hurling final. I'd like the minor LGFA final to be on before the senior LGFA final. Everything like that. I'd like to see that. But who knows?
The thing is, though, with before we get on to my opinion on the minor and stuff like that, the thing is with the LGFA that we have to take into account, they'd rather like the junior and intermediate before the senior. And that's a spectacle in its own right, to be fair. You looked at the Kildare Clare game last year. That was brilliant. Seeing Fidelma Marlin, Roisin Byrne, Strutter stuff. That was brilliant to see. And obviously, you Natasha Ferris for Down, Iris Keneally for Limerick. Like, those sorts of players probably deserve to play on All-Ireland Final Day 2 as well. So
they do. But the other thing that I would point that out is you have the weekend. And I personally don't see what the harm is. And I know that the day itself of doing junior, intermediate, senior is a class day of entertainment. But as the attendances keep going up, like you're going to eventually keep putting the attendances up and up and up. Like it's gone pretty much like, obviously apart from the COVID years, but it's gone steadily up in terms of the numbers going to these games. By the time you hit 2035, 2040, I imagine you'll be pushing. If we keep growing on the path that we're going on, especially with the little campaigns, which are brilliant, I think the attendances will spike again and carry on moving up. So eventually, hopefully 15, 20 years, we have full houses at the LGFA finals, which they deserve, which then you could make an argument for putting junior intermediate on the Saturday, senior on the Sunday. And then there's a slot open for the minor final before, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, definitely so. And in regards to the men's minor finals, like a memory that strikes in my mind before the Kerry Dublin final in 2019 when Killian Spillane levelled it and all that, and Dublin were down to 14 men, Johnny Cooper, Conor Corbett. I remember that performance in scoring that goal in the minor final. That was just a superb goal. And it was
I remember like, it was like 15 seconds after the Galway goal.
Yeah. Oh, what a moment. That was absolutely brilliant. And even Ryan O'Donovan, as you who I've played against many times in West Cork. He scored nearly the winning goal in extra time as well. It was great to see him score a goal. So, you know, it adds something to the event. And even before Cork won the All-Ireland against Down, I remember the Miners played against Tyrone. They lost that game, but still you see the likes of Brian Hurley, John O'Rourke playing in that game. Damien Cahalan was playing in that game as well. It kind of sights you up for the senior final as well. And there was other... Yeah. There was other
the other thing that's really cool is like whenever you buy the programs and you look back on them 5 years later and you look through the team and you're like, oh yeah, he was in that team. Like that looking back on the Dublin 2011 minor team, like it's outrageous. Like you got like Jack McCaffrey, John Small, Kieran Kilkenny, Eric Lowndes, Cormac Costello, Paul Mannion. I mean, out of this world. Talent in that team.
Yeah, definitely so. And even looking at programs from miles back, I think it was a minor game between Mayo and Tyrone. It was on before Cork and Dublin in 2010. I see Killian O'Connor was on the Mayo team that day. There was Stoughton on the Tyrone team as well. Where was he playing actually? I think it was half back around that region. Well, Niall Stoughton is very versatile anyway. So it's great to see those players just flicking back through the programs.
It gives you a glimpse of the future. gives you a glimpse of the future.
It does. And we'd love for minor finals to go back to where they should be before the senior final. And then one motion that I wanted to mention before I get your opinion on Jarrett Burns's quote, a proposal from Down that clubs will not be permitted to appeal referee appointments was passed by 95.4%. Obviously, that's referring to the Kilcoo incident, the Burn incident last year, with David Goff initially going to referee the Down final because of Paul Falloon being kind of booted out of that senior final in many ways. They found a referee in the end, but that was also a mess of a situation. Hopefully, it looks like that'll be rectified in the future, which is great to see too. But on Jarrett Burns, I don't think there's been such positivity for a new GAA president as much as this in years. And that's a real credit to what Jarrett Burns was saying at Congress last Saturday.
It is, and it's because of how Jarrett Burns has come up on the scene. It's because Jarrett Burns has grown up in the GAA community. A lot of the GAA presidents of the past, if we're talking about them, they all seem like unreachable. Like people like Larry McCarthy, people like Christy Cooney and Sean T. Kelly and people like that, that they didn't start playing GAA and move up through the club and then, you know, be an analyst for TG Cahir and like show that they, like strut their stuff there. They weren't the captain for their county. They don't still put the nets up for their goal. Jarlett seems very approachable. And like, I had briefly met him. He was in the museum. Briefly just shook hands, like, and he just introduced himself. And he just seems like a really, really nice guy. Everything I've heard about him, he just seems like a really stand-up bloke. And also, by his speeches, he seems to have his finger on the pulse. He seems to know what fans want to see. He seems to know what changes need to be made. When he was speaking about how the game is going in terms of the constant hand pass, when Gaelic football is at its best, it's a beautiful sport to watch. It's genuinely, absolutely gripping. You think of matches like Dublin-Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final in 2013. You think of Kerry-Mayo in the All-Ireland semi-final in 2014. You think of Dublin-Kerry in the All-Ireland final in 2019. Like, I know that I've only given Dublin examples. Let me switch it up. Let me go somewhere else. You think about Derry-Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. You think of Waddy Graham's Glen Kilmichael Crokes in the semi-final of the club championship. When Gaelic football is at its best, it is an absolutely gripping sport to watch. But the game does leave loopholes for teams to play the most boring, negative, defensive football, which leads to like games that honestly were like watching paint dry, like the Mayo County final between Ballina and Brafey, which finished 6-4, with both teams only getting 1 point from play each in the entire game. Yeah. So it leaves windows for games like that. So Jarlett seems to have his finger on the pulse that, like, how can we get more games like this and not more games like that? Because the reality is that a lot of people that have come out and spoke about it, because nowadays, here's my kind of motion on what Jarlett should be thinking is, everything in Ireland is getting more expensive and the GAA is so central to Ireland that the GAA can't avoid making things more expensive because everything is getting more expensive, not just in Ireland, but in the world, it's getting more expensive. So here's what the GAA has to comprehend. If people are paying more money for these tickets to go to your games, they better be entertained. And if they better be entertained, that's on you to make sure that the game goes a certain way. That makes sure that the game has certain rules in place to kind of nudge it towards being an entertaining game. Like rules like the shot clock, or like you're not allowed to go back inside your own half, or you're not allowed to hand pass it more than 5 times in a row, or like so, like things like the attacking mark that encourage you to kick the ball forward. Things like no goal kick inside the 21-yard line, which kind of makes it harder to go short with your kickouts. Things that encourage teams to push up a little bit more and go for it, which make the games more entertaining, which mean people get value for the tickets, which mean people will buy more tickets. The key to the GAA success is in the root of how teams play the game. And like,
I'm not saying that defensive football has necessarily been bad for the game. It hasn't really, in the grand scheme of things. It's brought counties that were way off. It's brought them right back in, and then they can work on their attacking ability and make themselves a contender. But in terms of like attractive football, Jarlett seems to have his finger on the pulse, and he seems to know what needs to be done. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does it.
I think many GA fans are just looking forward to see what he does. And the stuff he was saying about hurling as well is very, very encouraging.
Even it just feels like, as well, man, the last point, the last few years, we went very businessy. It seemed like all that mattered was business. Like, just get as many sponsorships in, get as many of this in, get as many people watching from abroad as possible. And it's like, we didn't focus on in-house. So it seems like Jarlath has his, you know, eyes set on what issues we need to solve before we focus on anything else, which is good.
It is definitely a good thing, and hopefully Jarlath Burns has a good reign as GAA president. Actually, before we get into the games, I forgot to mention the sponsor. How could I? Capture Athletics. Thanks for the guys for sponsoring the show. And yeah, check out their gear if you haven't already for your club. We'll start with the action, and we'll start off with hotly anticipated encounter, it's fair to say. Derry against Dublin. Derry are the home team here in Division 1 on Saturday at 5 p.m. on RT2. And even look at scores I've made out here. I've been doing scores for the Allianz League. I've been tracking them. I haven't posted anything, but they will be out in the next few weeks. I've just been absolutely, you know, absolutely busy with college stuff, but they will be out in the next few weeks. And even looking at the number of scores for each side, Derry have 17, Dublin have 19. Is that a sign that these sides are probably the best two sides playing in Division 1 at the moment?
They're definitely the sides in the best form. Like, there's no question about that. These two teams were, you know, on fire last year in Division 2. Dublin definitely stuttered along a little bit more than Derry did in Division 2. Like, nearly got caught by Clare, nearly got caught by Cork, but then turned on the style for the league final and blew Derry away. Derry, since they've got into Division 1, have meant business. Beating Kerry, beating Mayo. Beating Kerry, beating Tyrone, beating Galway, and hammering Monaghan. Like, they've meant business from the get-go. They haven't blinked. And at just the key moments, they've always managed to find a way to get the victory. Dublin, on the other hand, started awful against Monaghan. And it was immediately, there was PTSD. Everybody saying, Dublin are going to get relegated. Like, I never thought we would get relegated. I thought we would beat Roscommon in Croke Park, and I thought maybe we'd pick up a couple more wins before the league finished out, and I thought we'd survive. But the Kerry win has, like, I didn't see that performance coming, if I'm being 100% honest. If you told me at the start of the day, Con's going to score a hat-trick and Dublin will win by 10 points, yeah, I'd say we will. Yeah, I believe you. Like, unbelievable performance by Dublin that day, and I genuinely didn't see it coming to that level. Going away to Derry, it's a ground where we lost last year. And not only was it a ground where we lost that year, we lost from a position where we were in pretty good, like, in pretty much control of the game at halftime. We had a great first half and we let it unravel in the second half. And I remember Brendan Rodgers kicking the winner late in the second half as Derry got the win. And I remember the minute Rodgers put it over, I knew we weren't going to come back. I knew we weren't going to get the equaliser. It just had that, you know, when it has that feeling that, like, that's the winner. It was like, it was with 10 seconds to go in additional time. You're just like, oh, I don't think the ref's going to let us have another crack at this. And it wasn't to be. But look, the reality is Dublin seemed, when you look back on it in hindsight, Dublin seemed to be like, let's just get through these league games. Let's just get to the final and then we'll go from there. And they did. They snuck through, got past Derry in the final, and then moved on to the championship. And it took them a while to wake up there as well, but ended up working out in the end. This time, the Kerry game has really, you know, alerted everybody, and all eyes will be on Celtic Park this Saturday at 5 p.m. because, like, it's literally, Derry have answered all the questions. They've shut all the critics up until this point. But Dublin are the only team now that Derry haven't beaten since they've gone on this turnaround of their fortunes. They've beaten Galway. They've beaten Kerry. They've beaten Armagh. They've beaten like Tyrone. They've beaten all of these teams, but they've not beaten Dublin. Oh, they have. Sorry. Sorry. They haven't beaten Dublin in a big game yet. And this has the feelings of a big game. Yeah. This has the feelings of like whoever wins this, big advantage going into the end of the year, because you get the feeling that like these two are gonna flake hell out of each other later on in the year. And apologies for forgetting about the last, I don't know how I did that, but apologies for forgetting about the Division 2 game last year. But this one's a big one, and for Dublin, like, it's massive as well, because like, as we said, one performance can change everything, one result can change anything for better or for worse. And if Dublin lose handsomely to Derry, a lot of the goodwill from the Kerry game will go. Like, that's what is funny about Gaelic games. So Desi will have the lads like well and truly focused. I actually have the feeling this is going to be a draw. I just think that it just has a draw written all over it. I think a late equaliser for one of the teams. I can see it being a Donegal Armagh situation where it ends a draw. And there's this feeling of like, we'll see you down the line. Like, we ain't done. I actually think that could happen.
Yeah, I'd actually go for a draw as well. I just feel it has the feelings of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Late equaliser by Shane McGuigan or something, I think.
Maybe Conor Callan.
Like, yeah,
it has the feelings on it, definitely, because both sides, as you mentioned, are in form. Both sides are performing well. And I forgot to mention, actually, Tom Lahiff has scored for Dublin as well. So that's 20 different scorers in the league. And that's unheard of after four matches. And that has to be a positive sign for you as a Dublin fan in particular to see many players step up. Like the likes of the scorer, I'm looking at the scorers this now. You have, obviously, Tom Lahiff. You also have, on the list, you have Noel Scully, you have David O'Hanlon. If Jack McCaffrey played earlier in the league, Luke Brannock, Lee Gannon, Cullen Baskill, Owen Merchant, Greg McEnany, Larkin O'Dell. There's a lot of new names on the list. And it's great to see from a Dublin point of view, but probably the main player for Dublin at the moment, and we can't sugarcoat it whatsoever, is Conn O'Callaghan. 2-9 from play, the top scorer from play in Division 1 as of now, 3-13 overall. He's in the form of his life.
Yeah, and 3-11 in the last two games. And two player of the matches, like, fella is absolutely ripping it up. And as I said on the Enclair show, like, it's like Dublin have just taken the muzzle off them. It's like, okay, you've done your time doing the donkey work. Like, now we'll let you go and have fun. And he has had fun in the last two games. He's absolutely torn Brian Stack and Jason Foley apart. And I think they're two of the best fullbacks in the country. Like, it's been unbelievable what he's done to them. Going into this game, it's likely he'll get Christy McCaig. And by God, that's an interesting battle between the two of them. Like, that is an absolute matchup between them two. Christy is as experienced as it gets. He's tough. He's tight. He knows every trick of the trade. Conn O'Callaghan will have his hands full being picked up by him, but Christy will have his hands full with Conn, because Conn playing with confidence is dangerous. Derry on the other side have Conor Glass playing the football of his life. Like, every single time he gets the ball, you think he's going to do something special with it. Shane McGuigan in the forwards as well is absolutely shooting the lights out. It's a great point that you make about the range of scorers, and it's something that helps Dublin a lot, because you could list like two forwards, say, that are the key forwards, or three forwards for most counties that are the key forwards. You say, okay, who's the three key scorers for Derry? Conor Glass, Shane McGuigan, and honestly, I don't really know who else apart from that. As in, like, the main
as of now, Shane is the third top scorer for Derry. Is Conor Doherty at wing back with 1-2?
There you go. He's only got three scores. Dublin have a vast, like, and you can go around the counties with that logic. You can say, okay, Tyrone, Dara Canavan, Darren McCurry, and again, don't really know who else. Then you go to, say, for example, Kerry, O'Shea and the Cliffords. You go to Galway, Shane Walsh, Damian Comer, Rob Finnerty. And it's like, if one of those three or two of those three have a bad day, they're very much impacted with how much they can score, because they can't just whip them off and put someone else on. Dublin have Costello, Baskell, Mannion, Paddy Small, Con O'Callaghan, Kieran Kilkenny, Sean Bugler, that all consistently provide these scores. And as you said, Ross McGarry had a great game against Kerry. Is he finally delivering on the promise that he has? Lorcan O'Dell's settling to the team more and more as he gets more and more game time. Like, there's a lot of good players there. And like, it does give you a lot of confidence for the potential transition eventually from the old guard to the new guard, because that has seemed to be coming for a while, this inevitable seeming like where Dublin won't be able to keep this up. But to see that performance against Kerry and like no McCarthy involved, no Cluxton involved, no McFitts involved, and no McCaffrey either, like, that they're the type of lads that I would expect that will walk away in the next 3 or 4 years. I don't expect Conn to walk away. I don't expect Fenton to walk away. So, like, that is what is hugely, hugely promising for the future.
It definitely is. A question coming in here from Hurling 1234. What age is McGarry and O'Dell? Are they 24 around that age?
O'Dell is 22. He's the same age group as me. And then McGarry is 24. McGarry's 2 years older.
So there you go. Like, they are proving well. And one player that has really impressed for Dublin, in my opinion, look at scores and look at overall play, Sean Bugler, 5 points from 4 games. He's been really, really good in and around the middle. So Dublin,
Bugler's really, brilliant really at punching the line. Bugler's brilliant at, like, you know, when they're passing side to side, Bugler's brilliant at spotting the gap and straight through. Like, if you watch, Bugler is often the one that punches the line. Fenton, Bugler, and Lee Gannon, McCarthy, McCaffrey, they're kind of the main ones that punch the line. Obviously, Con O'Callaghan as well. But Bugler, consistently from centre forward or wing forward, is a guy who, when he gets the ball, he looks to break the line and get a shot away. So I'm not surprised that he's high up in the scoring.
Yeah. And Derry have a lot of scores too in Vernus. Like, Paul Cassidy also has won too. But, like, after Glass and McGuigan, it's actually crazy that after that is Conor Doherty and Paul Cassidy. And from play, even, it is Conor Doherty who scored 1-2 from play. Paul Cassidy scored 1-1. So, like, but Conor Doherty is a good player as well from wing back. So we'll have to see.
He's injured, Saturday. Went off injured he's against Galway.
Could be a loss. Could be a loss.
But, like, I don't know if he's fit. Mm. And, like, we all know that Derry will play him if he can walk. So yeah, he probably will play, but I don't think he's 100% fit.
Yeah,
one of those where did you see the incident? He like landed on his knee. It was one of those where I was watching it in real time, and the minute he fell, I was like, "Oop! I think that's an injury." It just looked weird the way he fell on his leg. And then he stayed down, the play carried on, and you kind of knew, like, he's gone. And he went off, and it looked like a precautionary thing. It looked like, let's just get him off. But he'll probably play against Dublin.
Probably will. At the same time, like, I asked Aaron about Cormac Costello's injury against Roscommon, and he said, oh, it's not too serious. He'll play against Kerry. And then the next day, he doesn't play.
He was concussed. We asked, like, Desi was asked in the press, post-match press conference, was Costello concussed? And he just said, yeah. So he said, I think they're avoiding putting him in a situation where he could potentially get concussed again in a short term. Because obviously two concussions in a very short space of time is not ideal at all for the brain.
Yeah. We'll have to see how this game plays out in fairness. And we're both going for a draw this channel here. So, yeah, it should be a very, very interesting game on Saturday, I'm sure of that. We'll move on to the next game now. It is Mayo against Roscommon. It's a Connacht derby at 7:30 on TG Carr. And there was a question that came in here specifically about this game. Sean here, Roscommon or Mayo? And we're going to answer this, Sean, right now. So, yeah, it's a big game for Roscommon, trying to follow up. The performance against Monaghan, an exceptional performance where they won quite handsomely in the end. Mayo aiming to get back on the horse after a disappointing defeat against Tyrone, disappointing second half performance more or less. And the main question for Mayo in particular, they didn't stop Darragh Canavan and Darragh McCurry last Saturday. Their main aim is to try to stop Darragh Craig this Saturday, because he's on the form of his life as well. So it's an interesting game, this.
It's a very, very interesting game. It's massively important for both sides. Mayo, we were talking about how the perspective can change. Mayo have gone from, you know, two wins kicking off their league campaign to now two defeats in the last two games. It's all of a sudden it's changed a little bit. They've lost to Kerry and they've lost to Tyrone. And you know what? This is the type of game that they might lose. I'm not sure that they will, but it's a Connacht derby. And for whatever reason, Roscommon, no matter how bad form Roscommon are in or how great form Mayo are in, Roscommon are always able to put it up to them. And it's never an easy game for either side. And the fact is, Roscommon battered Monaghan. Like, they absolutely battered them. And Mayo got beaten by Tyrone in a very poor second half performance. They will need to bounce back. Like, big leaders missing as well. Yeah, you're right. Big leaders missing for Mayo. And Roscommon had a big, big win against Monaghan, which, you know, if they win this game, Roscommon, they're on 5 points and they actually jump over Mayo, which is crazy to think about, like, how quickly this has all changed from Roscommon being rooted to the bottom. Robbie Henley as well, yeah, in goal. It'll be interesting to see if he gets in and whether Colin Reap comes back. It's a dangerous game for Mayo, because if they lose, out of nowhere, they're in a relegation battle. And you wouldn't have anticipated that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I would not have predicted that at all. So I think it's a dangerous one. And I think Mayo will save themselves when it gets dangerous. I'm going Mayo by very narrowly, point or two.
I'm going to go for Mayo as well. Like, home advantage should be enough for them. But that second half is very, very poor against Tyrone. And,
yeah, they were shocking in that second. They really let Tyrone push them around.
They did, yeah. And a lot of Tyrone fans were going after me and Aaron on the last podcast saying that Tyrone are all Ireland contenders and they were the best team in the second half. And I still believe, like, Mayo were very, very poor in that second half. And yeah, Tyrone were good, but we'll get on to Tyrone later. But Mayo, they need to perform better. And Roscommon's a bit of a weird one, touching on them, because you have Enda Smith back at the team, 1-5 from play, and he's in the top 10 scores from play in Division 1, and he has come back into the team, has played a stormer since getting that All-Star. And there is players like Dermot Murtagh there, there's Derek Craig, there's Connor Cox, Donny Smith came back from suspension now in the last few weeks. You have Rory Fallon, who's really impressed from wing back since he's come in from St. Bridget's. My issue with Roscommon, I just think, like, they're a very weird team. They perform well in Division 1 against the likes of Mayo and Monaghan. Fair enough, they hammer Monaghan and they could even stay up this year and prove me wrong in my predictions. But then in the Championship, they lose to Kildare and Cork last year, who were considered a bit of a, you know, also-rans in Division 2. So, like, it's a bit of a weird one for Roscommon in many ways.
Yeah, it's been very difficult to know what version of Roscommon is going to turn up, because I remember a couple of years ago as well under Anthony Cunningham. Yeah, no, that was a weird one, O'Donoghue against Tyrone. But, for example, I remember a few years ago under Anthony Cunningham, I remember they got promoted out of Division 2 and I think they beat Galway in the final of Division 2. Yeah, they did. Dermot Murtagh got that incredible goal. I remember everybody was talking them up as dark horses for the All-Ireland. And I remember they got knocked out by Clare, wasn't it? Just before the All-Ireland quarterfinals. Clare beat them to get into the quarterfinals where they played against Derry. So yeah. I personally, because of instances like that where they've had a lot of hype around them and then flattered to deceive, I kind of don't really buy into hype until you show me results, until you break through the glass ceiling of getting to a semi-final, of getting to something where I'm like, okay, I can see, you know, the progress towards an All-Ireland title that is being made. Because they are a great team. There's no question about it. Roscommon are a really, really good team. They have really, really good players. I think they have one of the best defenders in the country in Stack. I think they have one of the best midfielders in the country in Enda Smith. I think they have one of the best footballers in the country in Enda Smith, full stop. And then forwards, Ben O'Carroll and Dara Craig are as good as you get anywhere in the country. So, and I think Carroll in goal as well, Connor Carroll, is a brilliant keeper. They have a really, really good team. And them going down to Division 2 would be really frustrating, because for the last 5-6 years, Roscommon have been caught in limbo that, like, they're too good for Division 2, but they can't stay up in Division 1. And last year was massively important that they got their feet under the table in Division One and stayed up for another year. So Burke will be desperate to keep them up again so that they can progress in Division One and actually, you know, put a staple on it and start trying to push for league titles and become All-Ireland contenders. I think Mayo will win this game because Mayo need to win this game. But I don't think Mayo will make it easy for themselves because they never do. I think it's going to be a 1-point win for Mayo and in the most dramatic fashion possible.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Mayo win as well, but Roscommon to push them all the way. And even if Roscommon do win this game, it's mad to think that they'll actually go ahead of Mayo in this 5 points to four.
I wouldn't be surprised at another draw, actually, Matthew, to be honest. I'm not picking that to be boring, but I wouldn't be surprised at another draw.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll move on to the next game here, and it is Kerry against Tyrone in Killarney at 1:15 live at TG Carr. Look, this is a game that Kerry need to come back and win in many ways, because the performance against Dublin, as good as Dublin were, it was very disappointing from Kerry, let's just say. Like, once Dublin kept Paddy Clifford quiet, there wasn't much supply going to David Clifford and Sean O'Shea. Feeding back to your point in the first episode of this podcast for the Allianz League this year on Sean O'Shea full forward, the supply ball, if it's bad, then it's useless. And Paddy Clifford just didn't get the ball. That was the thing. Tyrone, coming back from a win, might be confident in this game, but Kerry have to get back up the horse. And even the stats don't lie, really. Like, the worst defence in the Allianz League, only three defences are worse than Kerry. And that's Monaghan, Waterford and Limerick. That's a worry from a Kerry point of view, surely.
No, it definitely is. I mean, this is a team that the key to them getting over the line in the All-Ireland in many people's eyes was their tightening up at the back. 2022, you didn't get through that Kerry defence. Like, they held Dublin to, what was it, 113? Like, Dublin had pretty much that by half-time in the league game. And I know that, like, it's just a league game. Everybody will fall back on that. But I don't care if you play Dublin in the Mickey Mouse Cup. You don't want to lose to them. If you're Kerry, the team you want to beat more than anybody else is Dublin. So that game would be competitive if it was a coin toss, let alone a game in front of 40,000 people. Kerry were humiliated at Croke Park. Things happened in that game that were just unexplainably weird. That, like, the pressure was just getting to them. Like, Shawnee O'Shea hit the post with a free from the 21-yard line that he genuinely would put over 99 times out of 100. So, like, you were watching it thinking, what is going on? Why are they so shook? And I think they were just blown away by how well Dublin started. Now, the thing is that, to be fair to Jack O'Connor, he did own it. Like, he said, no, Dublin had his figured out. They had their kickouts figured out. They were, you know, getting through us down the middle. Because, like, I asked him, I said, like, listen, if Con didn't get that goal really early, do you think that, you know, the game would have gone slightly different? Like, David Clifford missed a goal chance. Like, do you think if David had stuck his away and Con had missed his, do you think the game would have been different? No. This is like Dublin just had the game plan right, and they knew that they had them figured out. And, like, to score, and on top of that, they were ruthless. 2-9 from 12 shots is scary. Like, as Morris Brosnan's tweet said, like, that's genuinely terrifying efficiency with their shots. Like, that they only missed, I think it was 2 or 3 chances in the entire first half. It was crazy efficiency. And Kerry bouncing back from that is going to be vital, because if they lose now to Tyrone, they're skidding towards an unprecedented relegation dogfight. They need to win this game. And one thing that's clear about Jack O'Connor, especially when we watched Kerry in the All-Ireland quarterfinal last year, is Kerry came out intense for that Tyrone game. They were pumped. It was clear that whatever kind of disliking O'Connor had towards the Tyrone team in the 2000s for those All-Ireland final defeats was probably put into those Kerry players. Because I just remember them being really determined in that game. They were determined to put the foot down until the final minute of that game. And they really put Tyrone away. So I expect Kerry to be absolutely wound up waiting for Tyrone. And I expect Kerry to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Kerry win as well. Even though, and I'm going to touch on Tyrone. And Darragh Canavan, yeah, he's been exceptional and all that. But I was going to touch actually a comment made by somebody on Gaelic Games Fan TV was saying that me and Aaron's analysis of Tyrone the other day was kindergarten journalism, as he described it, saying that Tyrone were all early contenders after their win over Mayo, and they'll go ahead and win the league, and you should be crediting him a lot more. Should Tyrone fans just calm down a small bit, do you think, Seamus? Because, like, I'll put out the facts here. Okay, you beat Mayo, fair enough, after a good second half performance. And they say, and that guy actually said this, my analysis of it was ridiculous, saying that Darren McCurry changed the game, which he did. 8 points in the second half, and yeah, he won the game. He changed the game. And another thing as well, look at the championship last season in terms of All-Ireland contenders. They got hammered by Kerry in the quarterfinal last year, as you mentioned there. They could have been knocked out by Westmead easily. A few years back, they got absolutely slaughtered by Derry in the Ulster Championship. Correct. So, like, this is my issue with Tyrone. They have good players, there's no doubt about it. Darragh Canavan, Darren McCurry, Con Kilpatrick on his day. There are some good players in that. The problem is the consistency. And, like, the thing is now, after the Mayo game, after the brilliant second half performance, there's pressure on Tyrone too to follow that up with a win in Killarney as well. I know it's a way to Kerry, but even a good performance. Because if Tyrone get hammered by Kerry this weekend, then the old problems will be start rushing back into them. That's my issue with Tyrone. That's it, really.
Yeah, well, since they've won the All-Ireland, they haven't been consistent at all. They haven't put two good performances back-to-back. They beat Fermanagh, then they got absolutely pulverised by Derry, and then they went out to Armagh in the qualifiers in 22. 23, they put in a great performance against Donegal to beat them in the pre-quarterfinal, I think that was. And then they got eaten alive by Kerry. They got absolutely slaughtered. So they haven't, since the All-Ireland win in 21, they haven't put two good performances back-to-back in championship. And as far as I'm concerned, the league, they've been very up and down as well. They've started poorly and then they pulled it back to stay up 2 years in a row. So, yeah, they beat Mayo. I don't think they're winning the league. I think that the game against Derry showed it. They didn't turn up against Derry at all. And then they also lost at home to Galway, who were without Shane Walsh and Damien Comer, and didn't have Sean Kelly starting either, and also didn't have Paul Conroy. He got injured. Didn't have Killian McTade. So it wasn't a full-strength Galway team by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't think Tyrone are going to win the league. They still have to face Dublin. They still have to face Kerry. And I'd be surprised if they come out winning both of those games, let alone one of them, to be honest. So you have to win both of those if you're going to get into the league final. So, yeah, I don't think Tyrone are going to win the league, but I think that they will stay up. But I don't think they win this game. I think Kerry will be too emotionally invested in winning this game. I just think that they're so scarred by what Tyrone did to them in the 2000s, like beating them in every big game, that especially the fact that Jack O'Connor was the manager of those Kerry teams, a lot of them, he will have them absolutely pumped up to go and like get as much revenge as possible on Tyrone. And I think beating them in this league game to push Kerry up while pushing Tyrone down, I think that's what they're going to want to do. And I think they will. I think if Kerry ever will over-celebrate a game, I think they'll over-celebrate beating Tyrone at home. And I think Kerry will win this by 2 or 3 points. It'll be a tight game. It'll be a battle. I don't think Tyrone will go down without a fight, but I do think they'll lose. As for all Ireland contenders for Tyrone, yeah, they have the players too. But as you said, since they won the All-Ireland, they haven't had the consistency to. And we were talking about, on my show, we were talking about how Kildare are like the, walking past the Rottweiler and that it could wake up and then it would be a beast. Tyrone sometimes it's like walking past the grizzly bear. It's like they have the potential to be not just All-Ireland champions, but when they won the All-Ireland in 2021, they had as good a squad as Dublin had. Arguably when they were winning titles in the 2010s. Like players like Lee Brennan, Paul Donaghy, Tiernan McCann, all on the bench. It was crazy to look at lads that good. Like Colin McShane couldn't even start when he was in that good form. Dara Canavan coming through the ranks, Rory Canavan coming through the ranks, and you were like, this could be, I remember people saying at the time that Tyrone could go on and win two or three more. And then all those lads that I've listed off, Donaghy, McCann, Lee Brennan, Benny Gallen and Goal, for example, they all left the panel. And the competition around the places for the competition for places in Tyrone massively dropped off. So whether they can regain that consistency and go on another run for the All-Ireland, who knows? If they get it together, I think they absolutely have the potential to win the All-Ireland. But show me, don't tell me.
Exactly. And yeah, that's the answer to the critics for me and Aaron's video the other day from that Tyrone fan. So we'll move swiftly on to the next game in Division 1. And this is a huge one. It's a relegation four-pointer. There's no point in brushing around the bushes here. Monaghan against Galway at 3:15 p.m. live on TG Carr on Sunday. To put stats into perspective here, Seamus, Monaghan have the worst defence in Division 1. Galway have the worst attack in Division 1. Something has to give on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's just an absolutely huge game, this one. And, like, we were talking about it. We're waiting for the burst to come for Monaghan. We're waiting for it. And I think it has to come in this one. I really believe Monaghan are going to win this game. I genuinely think that Monaghan, this is when they're going to make their burst. Monaghan, I think, will beat Galway. They'll be on 4 points. And they might just save themselves. I really like it. It's just, this is what they do. They literally stay up all the time. And maybe this is the year where they go down. Maybe finally they've used up their 9 lives. But like, who knows? It genuinely is. I'm scared to predict that Monaghan are going to go down. Because 2022, as I said, this is my favorite example to use about why I'm scared to predict them to go down. Not only did they stay up, they relegated Dublin in the process. So I was like, well, that's like getting a slap in the face for predicting that, and then a punch in the face for predicting that as well. So, like, that, you know, you predicted Monaghan to go down, they didn't, and Dublin went down instead. So, like, I'm nervous to predict them to go down this time. Galway really, really fell off in the second half against Derry. It was like they had a couple of key moments where the game really could have swung. Like Niall Daly's goal chance, and then Kieran Malloy's black card and the penalty being tucked away by McGuigan. That's where they lost again. I think if Daly scores that goal and the penalty isn't given, which, by the way, I don't think it was a black card. Penalty, maybe. Black card, no. He tried to play the ball. If he's playing dirty there, he would have gone for the ankles, taken him out. He didn't. He tried to get the ball. So I don't think he can give a black card for that and then not give a black card for, say, when Kevin Maguire choke slams Con Kilpatrick in the Tyrone versus Westmeath game. So, yeah, personally, I think Galway really desperately need the victory. But in terms of who has stayed up with all the odds against them, Monaghan have been to the well more times than Galway have. And the fact that Monaghan have them at home, Galway aren't all of a sudden going to shoot the lights out in this game, I'd be pretty confident. I think Monaghan will win.
Like, this is a hard one to call, considering I know Monaghan have to fight in them, but the next two games that Galway have in no particular order are Kerry and Dublin. And realistically, I don't think Galway are taking any points out of that. So, in my eyes, Galway have to win this game. If they don't, they are down. So, it's a big one. It's a big one for both sides, but is it arguably better for Galway than it is for Monaghan?
Yeah, it's more important for Galway. It definitely is more important for Galway. Monaghan after this, I think, have Mayo and Tyrone. Yeah. I think that's it. So, and Mayo have a habit of dropping off towards the end of the league. Tyrone might be safe as well by the time that they play Monaghan. So that there might be a win there for Monaghan if they, you know, if they need it more than Tyrone do. Galway, Dublin and Kerry will be pushing for a league final place. So won't be easy to face them. So I think, yeah, Galway need to win this game.
They have to, yeah, and I think this is the first week. Like, it's such a hard one. It really is a hard one to call. You said Monaghan. I'm going to say Monaghan as well, considering I know I've backed Galway in weeks and weeks gone by. Number one, as you mentioned, Galway's attack isn't going to change overnight. And Damien Comer and Shane Ward don't look like they're coming back into the Galway team, which is a shame. Number two, it's Alan Clonus. And Monaghan want to make that a fortress as well. So I'm going to go for Monaghan. I'm going to go for Monaghan to win it. I think, honestly, this is the first time this season I've backed against Galway and watched how Galway will win the game. That's the way. Yeah. Game's the game. Should be a very interesting game. And we're both going for the same prediction there that Monaghan would win this game. But before we leave Division 1, Denise thinks Derry will win the league. And yeah, you can't go against that really, considering the form that Derry are in at the moment.
Yeah, be interested to see how the Dublin game goes. That's it. Derry are yet to win a big game in Croke Park. Just say that.
Yeah.
The fact that Glass has won with Glenn might help him. But the three times that they've played top teams in Croke Park, like Kerry, Galway and Dublin, I know that they beat Clare and Croke Park, but against teams that would have been All-Ireland contenders in the respective years, they got pulverised by Galway, pulverised by Dublin, and they lost a cracker to Kerry. So I do think that they have turned a corner in terms of playing at Croke Park, but I still probably would edge Dublin in Croke Park.
Should be very interesting to see. And Derry Dublin should be a very interesting game at the weekend. Obviously, time's at the essence. We're 56 minutes and we haven't even talked about Division 2. So let's get straight into it. This, again, is a relegation four-pointer. Cork against Kildare in Parky Keeve, or Super Value Parky Keeve, should I say. 3:30 on Sunday on the TG Car Player and app. And I am going to this game as well. So huge game for both sides. Cork obviously won last weekend with a late Morris Shandy scrappy goal to beat Fermanagh in St. Joseph's Edirne, trying to get the words out of my mouth there. And Kildare are still without a point, still without a goal in the league so far. But Kildare have to go on and win this game. And I know I'm a Cork fan and stuff like that, but the story is about Kildare. If they lose this game, Seamus, you could argue it's bye-bye.
Kildare. Yeah, no, they're gone if they lose this. I mean, you put up a tweet. I included it in the latest episode of Social Media Reacts, the tweet of that only one team has ever stayed up after losing four of their opening games. So,
yeah.
Kildare aren't staying up, mate. Like, no way. If they lose, I already think that they're not staying up. I think the damage is already done. I think it's already too late. And I think they are going down, even if they win this game. Because I still think that Donegal will beat them. And I think the Louth game will be massively difficult. And even if they win against Louth, they're on 4 points. Might still not be enough to save them. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they get on in this one. And personally, I think Cork are winning this one. Because Cork have shown fight in pretty much all of their games. The Donegal one, they dropped off in the second half. They didn't show fight in that one. But they fought against Louth, albeit they're on the wrong end of the result. They fought against Cavan. They had chances to win the game. They missed a lot of chances to win that game. But basically the point is that they missed chances to win the game. Kildare have never looked like winning the game in any way, shape or form. Like Cork could walk out with their heads like the heads down. Obviously, they were annoyed that they lost, but they could look at it and think, okay, that's where we lost the game. Kildare lost their games before the ball was even thrown in. Like, they knew that they weren't winning. So, and it took, what, 5 minutes for them to fold against Armagh? So, Kildare looked a little bit better against Meath last week. They looked like they looked up a bit of a better fight. But then again, Meath make difficult work out of everybody that they play against. Meath are just as likely to just about lose to, you know, Armagh, Donegal, as they are to just about beat, like, Waterford in the Tailteann Cup like they did last year. So it is really interesting to watch Meath because they never make it easy for themselves. Cork in this game, I would predict Cork to win because Cork need to carry on off the back of the Fermanagh game. It's at home. It's in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I'm going Cork.
I'm going to go for Cork as well. Just the first time I've back Cork in weeks, to be honest. But what I will say about this game, it is a dangerous one for Cork. As you mentioned on your show earlier on this week, Kildare are almost like a Rottweiler or a bear or a husky, just lying down. And if it wakes up, that person could be mauled. And Cork have to, you know, take that into consideration as well. But what I will say about Cork, there is some positives, some negatives. So the positive is Conor Corbett's back. And he performed really, really well against Fermanagh. He stretches defences and does really, really well. And he's a massive coup for Cork. One negative though for Cork this week that could bring him down a notch. Blake Murphy quit the panel this week for Cork. I don't know, have you heard the story now? But one of the most exciting under-20s in the last few seasons in 2019-2020, due to a lack of game time, as reported by Barry O'Mahony, has left the Cork senior football panel. So, like, what do you think of that? Is that kind of a negative sign for Cork, do you think? That a player of his calibre, a player of the skill level of potentially one of the best players in the country, has just left the panel like this?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty sad. It was pretty sad just for the neutral, for the viewers, that we didn't get to see this guy at his absolute best. Blake Murphy, I remember watching Cork beat Dublin in the under-20 final in 2019. And Murphy was just fantastic. He's brilliant at centre forward. The ability he had was clear as day. And I mean, who would have thought it, that like Dublin's forward down the other end was Kieran Archer, like shooting the lights out throughout that year, and we haven't heard from him either. So like it's interesting to watch who eventually emerges and who doesn't. Because a lot of those lads from that Dublin team have just kind of disappeared and they haven't come back. And a lot of lads that were not particularly fancy to go on to the Dublin seniors have made it. Like Lorcan O'Dell didn't make the Dublin minors at his age group, and now he's on the Dublin senior team. So like a lot of players kind of come and go, or they late bloomers, everything like that. But Murphy had the talent to be one of the best forwards in the country. There's no question about it from watching him. There's no question he had the talent to be Cork's best forward. And look, it was disappointing. I don't think the style of play suited him. I don't think Cork were playing on the front foot enough for Blake Murphy to really strut his stuff. And then it's difficult when you come in and you're naturally a guy who will sit at centre forward and dictate the play and play, you know, flamboyant football where you're strutting your stuff, and then you get put in there and you're told, no, we're hand passing the ball. I need you to hustle. I need you to work hard. I need you to do these things. It probably knocks you off your stride, and then you might get put into the full forward line. Corner forward is a completely different position to centre forward. And then you get, you know, 15 minutes in a league game and you're whipped off, and your confidence can very quickly go. And on top of that, he's a young lad. He might want to go travelling. And if he's having to sacrifice a lot of his time to sit on the bench and he's not getting paid to do that, I don't blame him for walking away. And I think he might have had a conversation, because personally, this is what I would do if I was to walk. I'd be like, listen, are you going to play me? And if the answer isn't immediately yes, I'm out. I'm not putting so much of my time into not get game time. And like, so, I mean, it's a shame that he's gone, but understandable why he left.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, as you mentioned there. He's such a talented player, like Conor Corbett, for example, like many Cork minor players, like Mark Crone and Colin O'Mahony from that under-20 team as well. And it's just disappointing that they don't play enough, in my opinion. I'd love Cork to play front-foot football, to play exciting football. I think we're capable of it, but just not at that stage at the moment with the management team there.
Weirdly, I remember Dublin-Cork 2019 Super 8s. And I know Ronan McCarthy was the boss, and that was a way more frustrating time to be a Cork fan under Ronan McCarthy. But I remember Cork went toe-to-toe with Dublin in that game and played some beautiful football.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really enjoyable game of Gaelic football to watch. Now, Dublin ended up being too strong, but that was Dublin at their best. And I remember Paul Kerrigan turned back the clock and looked like vintage Paul Kerrigan in that game. And Dublin just won out in the end with a late burst. But I remember Cork hung in there for long periods. So Cork have it in them to play that football. And I'd love to see them do it more.
Yeah, we all would, to be honest. It's just brilliant to see a Cork team play on the front foot, like the Minors and the other 20s did, particularly in that season, 2019. It was absolutely brilliant. And a brief moment for the seniors as well. Two comments coming in from Evelyn here before we get on to the other games. Fair play to TG Carr for televising so many league matches. Credit where credit is due. Absolutely, Evelyn. They've been absolutely outstanding in doing that. Another comment from the same commenter here. RTE only invest into televising matches in knockout stages of the championship, and TG Carr make use of YouTube channel for broadcasting games. A point you've been making, Seamus, for so long now.
Well, that's it. I mean, if me and you can sit here and live stream, and we're just two lads that I know you're still in college, I'm fresh out of college. If we can do this, you know, with, you know, a smidge of the budget that RTE have, like, I mean, why can't RTE do it or do more episodes preview and stuff and just live streaming games like club championships do, like Dublin GAA do for their club championship, like, you know, other counties do for their club championships. And why not even go, why not even try and boost out on that? Like the company that, you know, runs the Dublin GAA club championship coverage, why not go here? Do you want to cover the Hurlers are playing Westmeath today? Do you want to cover that? Things like that, that would just make so much sense to cover in the game. But it comes down to who's allowed to show what and everything. And that's where it gets messy and everything. But look, as well, to Evelyn, obviously, I want to apologize for not getting that LGFA and Camogie video out. As I was saying to you, Matthew, as well, Evelyn, I don't know if you've seen it, but genuinely just a lot of last minute stuff came up that I had to get done. I didn't get the chance to get around to it. But like, obviously, Big round of fixtures coming up this weekend as well.
Yeah, definitely. We probably will discuss the LGFA and Camogie later on, but we'll get running into these games now. Cavan against Meath, Division 2 on Saturday at 7 p.m. The one thing that surprises you, Seamus, is that this game is not shown live. And coming back from the last comment, coincidentally, because this is almost like a promotion semi-final. Like, whoever wins this is definitely on the road to challenging either Donegal or Armagh. So, to me, it's just a shock that this is not live streamed. Like, even Paddy Lynch scoring 30 points. Owen Frayne has been brilliant for Meath. Meath have done really well under Conor O'Rourke. Cavan have been the surprise packets of Division 2. So, it's an interesting game, but unfortunately, we won't get to see it.
Yeah, you said it as well. Cavan have been the surprise package. And that's what I think a lot of people don't understand when it comes to the cameras and stuff like that. You have to get the cameras and you have to send them somewhere, which means that there's a backlog of where the cameras are going. People have to know this camera, this camera, this camera. They're all going to Semple Stadium on the 15th. They're going to Porky Creeve on the 27th. They're going to... And the reality is, you remember the Loud situation that happened last year? Yeah. I think RTE every year place bets on who is going to be good. And most of the time they get it right. So they anticipate who's probably going to be going down and who's probably going to be going up and who's going to be mid-table, having a lot of dead rubber games that most people won't really be pushing to be shown live. So they hedged the bets and Loud ended up being a lot better than a lot of people thought. And then the cameras are booked in to go to a certain ground and they can't last minute change them to go to RD, which then they came out with the nonsense about, oh, we can't send the cameras to RD. You can. You just have them pre-booked to go somewhere else. But definitely something that would be obvious to me to look into for RTE is to just invest a little bit into services like Clubber, to invest a little bit into services like that move a lot more freely. That, like, Clubber, for example, like the work that we do in Parnell Park, like I've seen when RTE pull up with, like, trucks, like absolute lorries of equipment, like cameras and, you know, the drone shots and everything like that. Like, once RTE are coming, oh, you know they're coming. They come with, like, massive trucks with all their equipment. TG Carr is a big setup as well. Clubber, it's a lot smaller, meaning it's a lot easier to move around. It's a lot easier to get people to games last minute. So you would be thinking maybe just for future RTE to look into Clubber and go, this is actually a decent little, like, resort that you have there, that if a team turns out to be a lot better than you thought that they were and people want this game to be shown, that you have this option here to put a bit of money into these guys and they can really help you out.
Yeah, Definitely so. Just commenting here about Kerry from Padraig. Kerry won't worry about the league. There's still a team to beat in the championship. That will be discussed more in depth, I'd imagine, in later on the championship. But getting back to the game with Cavan and Meath, look, it's a huge game for both sides. You look at Cavan and on the television as well. Cavan haven't been shown in 5 rounds in the Allianz League, which is just shocking, in all honesty, and considering how they performed really, really well. And for Meath, they are really looking good at the moment. A good win over Kildare the last time. And as I said, whoever wins this game is definitely on the road to challenging either Donegal or Armagh. It's worth noting as well, Meath still have to play Donegal and Cavan still have to play Armagh. So a win here for either side would boost their chances massively.
Yeah, and I honestly think Cavan are going to be the team to get that win. I think Cavan seem to be on a bit of a train towards something good. And look, Meath definitely have the capabilities to catch them. Like, there's no question about it. I think Meath are actually going to pose, apart from Donegal, Meath, I think, will pose the most difficult test that Cavan have faced yet. And I think for Cavan, it's actually quite unlucky for them that they've got Meath now, because they've got Meath that have, you know, turned a bit of a corner now in terms of that they've, you know, put back-to-back wins together. I think if they had got Meath in the first round, I think they would have beaten them. Like, so it's difficult to know what Meath is going to turn up now. I think Cavan will pip it. I think Cavan by a point. Which sets up a mega showdown against Armagh.
It's a really tight one to call. And both of these sides are rivals. Let's not forget that as well. There's a bit of rivalry on that border between Cavan and Meath, as John McMahon would have described. Check his channel out if you haven't already. Yeah.
I'm just gonna check something. I know you're going for Cavan. I just want to check, where is that game between Cavan and Armagh?
I'm not sure. I'll have to double check as well. But yeah, I'm gonna go for Cavan to go on and win this game. Like, the hour looking really, really good at the moment. And yeah, Armagh Cavan's on in the Athletic Ground, Seamus.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. So advantage Armagh, no question.
We'll have to focus on Meath and Cavan first, but we are going for a Cavan win in that. The BBC iPlayer and GAA Go game this week is Fermanagh against Armagh on Saturday at 6 p.m. Fermanagh at home obviously lost to Cork due to that Marshandy late goal. Despite leading for so much of the game and performing so well, they ended up with no points. Armagh on the road to promotion. You would expect Armagh to go on and win this game. It's going to be a difficult one for Fermanagh, isn't it? Especially the way they lost the last time.
Well, that's it. If they were that good against Cork for so long and still lost, I can't see them beating Armagh. I also can't see Armagh making it easy on themselves. Like, to use the cliche again, they never do. But I do think Armagh will win this game. Armagh are in good form. You know, they look like they nearly had it won against Donegal when Rian O'Neill hit that shot over. And the fact is, Rian O'Neill's back now. Armagh are pretty much at full strength. So I'm going to go Armagh to win this one.
There has been some examples, actually, of Fermanagh beating Armagh in championship, I think, in Brewster Park before. So, like, you never know. Both of these sides are rivals. But then again, I'd have to go for Armagh. Oisin Connolly is a very good player that's performing at the moment. You obviously have Rian O'Neill back in the team. You have Conor Turbitt. You have Andrew Murray scoring that brilliant goal against Donegal last week. So, yeah, I think Armagh should have too much. Another team that should have too much, to be honest with you, Seamus, is Donegal. They were home to Loud on Sunday at 2 p.m. It was a tough defeat to take for Loud last weekend, losing to Cavan by a point, losing to Meath by 2 points. But the way Donegal are going, like a steaming train at the moment, you would expect them to roll out over Loud, especially at home.
Yeah, no, Donegal will win this. I think, like, Loud will take great pride in, you know, trying to make it difficult for Donegal and trying to hang in there with them. But I just think Jim McGuinness will read the system that Loud will come with. Like, I think he'll read it like a children's book. Like, to be honest, because, like, that's pretty much the system that Jim pioneered. He's like, I made this. Like, you can't beat me with my own game. So, like, they're going to come to Donegal and, you know, try and make it difficult for Donegal. But I think we could see Donegal doing what they did to Cork. I think we could see Donegal being hyper-aggressive, push right up on them and try finish them off in the first half. I think Donegal will have a comfortable enough lead at halftime and they'll see it out in the second half without putting the foot down too much. I think Donegal will win by about 5 or 6.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Donegal to win that game as well. We'll move on to Division 3, and the main game this week is Down against Sligo in Park Isler at 2 p.m. on Sunday. You'd expect Down to win this, but Sligo, 3 wins on the bounce, they're coming in with a bit of confidence, and if they're going to beat Down, this is probably the week to do it, considering the form they are on.
But that's it. As you said, they can't be asking for a better mindset coming into this game. Personally, I don't think anybody in Division 3 can stop Down, though. I think Down are just clicking. They've got it. They've worked out what they needed to do, and they've done it. And like players like Oran Murdoch, Liam Kerr are just in terrific, terrific form for Down. And they just look a problem. And I think they would comfortably stay up in Division 2, actually, if they were in Division 2 this year. They just are on it right now. And like they've won all their games in Division 3 without any fuss. And I think this one will be similar enough. I think as good a form as Sligo are in, I don't think there'll be any trouble to Down. I think Down will win this game by about 5 points.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Down to win that game as well, even though Sligo to put up a test. This is a relegation four-pointer here. Offaly against Wicklow, both sides at 0 points, Sunday at 2 p.m. You would expect Offaly to win this game. But then again, with these sorts of relegation type of games, anything can happen.
That's it. And Wicklow have a history of, like, catching teams. Like, they beat Cavan, remember, 2021. They caught Cavan completely off guard and sent them down when Cavan had, you know, Thomas Galligan, Gerard McKiernan in the team. Cavan on paper probably had a stronger team back then than they do now. And so, Wicklow caught Cavan and sent them down to Division 4 and stayed up. So Wicklow have a history of catching teams in games like this. There's a lot of pressure on Offaly. Like, the players got dogs abuse after the Clare game, which is absolutely disgraceful. You know my opinions on that. But there's a lot of pressure on them to deliver in this game. I think they will. I think they'll win this game. I think that Offaly will stay up above Limerick and Wicklow, who will go down. But I don't think it'll be easy. I think Offaly by one.
Yeah, it should be a difficult game for Offaly, but they should get over the line in the end. And you look at the next game, Antrim against Westmeath in Corgan Park on Sunday at 1 p.m. Considering Antrim lost 2 games in a row, Westmeath won 4 games in a row. Straightforward.
Straightforward enough, yeah. I think Westmeath are too good for this division as well. I think it's a similar situation to Down. I think if Westmeath were in Division 2, I think they'd stay up this year. Westmeath have cracking players, Ronan O'Toole, John Heslin, that have been doing it for years, by the way. And I truly believe they'll stay up. Sorry, they'll go up. And I think they'll stay up the next year as well. I think the form that they're in is too strong. Desi Dolan is getting a tune out of them. Be interested to see when Westmeath eventually meet with Down. But in the same way that Westmeath have been doing their stuff in Division 3 so far, I don't think they're going to win by more than 5. I think Westmeath will probably make it harder for themselves than usual. I think they'll win by 2.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And we'll move on to the next game, Limerick against Clare and Rakeel on Saturday at 6 p.m. Just isn't going Limerick's way, is it, at the moment? 4 losses in a row. It could be 5 at the weekend, considering Clare are brilliant form at the moment themselves.
Yeah, no, it's sad to see how it's kind of all unraveling now. Like, Limerick made great progress under Billy Lee and just missing some players like Danny Neville's quietly gone. And there's other players like him that are just quietly not there. Like, do you know what I mean? They haven't really made a big fuss or a big hullabaloo about why they're not there anymore. But like, Donald O'Sullivan slipped away, Danny Neville slipped away, and just then Billy Lee leaves and it all starts to kind of fall apart, you know, relegated from Division 2, rock bottom, and on course to be relegated from Division 3, rock bottom, right back down to Division 4 where it started, which is really, really sad when you think about the progress that was made. I think they're losing this game. Clare have, you know, shown an incredible amount of fight. Like, they were hit so hard in the off season, and they've shown absolutely brilliant spirit to fight through all these games, get big, big victories. And you never know, wouldn't write them off yet. If they can catch Down, you never ever know. They might be able to go back up. I predicted them to finish 3rd. I do think that is where they will finish. I think that they will beat Limerick.
Yeah. Clare should beat their rivals this weekend. We'll move on to Division 4. Probably the main game in the bottom division is Carlow against Wexford in Netwash Cullen Park on Saturday at 7 p.m. after that Cullen Hulton brilliant goal in the last minute of the game against Leitrim, you would expect Carlo's confidence is on an utter high at the moment. And no disrespect to Wexford, but Carlo look like a steaming train at the moment to promotion.
Yeah, Carlo looking great for him. Like, there's absolutely no question about it. Like, the last minute goal from Colm Hulton against Leitrim when the game looked lost, like Carlo looked like they'd completely let it slip between their fingers. They found the grit, they found the determination to get that last minute winner. I think that will help them against Wexford. I think Wexford had made a habit about being a plucky team last year. Like, we saw them catch Leash, we saw them catch Leitrim. Will they catch Carlo? I think if Carlo managed to win this game, I think they're in a pretty good position to potentially get promoted, which would be absolutely massive for them. Like, we've seen the hype and the buzz that it generated the first time when they went up and Carlo rising and everything like that. We could see it happen again. And a victory over Wexford will go a long way to achieving that. And you know what? I think they're going to get it, especially at home in Cullen Park. I think Carlo win this one.
Yeah, going for Carlo to win as well. I completely agree with you. And we'll move on to the next three games briefly. Leash against London on Saturday at 7 p.m. We have Tipperary versus Waterford on Sunday at 2 p.m. And then another game on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. is Longford against Leitrim on Sunday, as I mentioned there. Would you expect a clean sweep for the home teams here?
Probably, but I think the Longford one, the Longford Leitrim one, is interesting. Obviously, the two of them sharing a border, they have a rivalry of their own. I think there's that territory of Rooski that nobody can decide on whether it's in Longford or Leitrim or Roscommon. So there's the rivalry between those counties. Longford, I think, have flattered to deceive in Division Four now. Losing a home to Tipperary was big shock. I didn't think that they'd do that. I really thought Longford would go up at top of the division. I thought that they'd be insulted by going down to Division Four, when, let's be honest, like, the previous 10 years they've spent most of their time trying to get out of Division Three. So how they ended up slipping and falling out of the back door of it, I don't know. I don't think they would have been expecting that. So I thought that they'd be, you know, on business mode. We're getting out of here. We're going right back up to Division 3. And then the first game against Leash, they lost. And then lost against Tipperary. And now they've left themselves, you know, a bit of a mountain to get up. I think they will beat Leitrim. I think Leitrim would be a bit of a sucker punch to lose the game to Carlo the way that they did. And I think it would be hard for them to turn it around and beat Longford. The other two games, yeah, I think Tipperary will beat Waterford. And I think Leash will beat London. I don't think there's anything that could... I don't think there's anything that could go differently in those games. Tip will win and Leash will win.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it should be a very interesting weekend in the Allianz Football League. Before we finish, we'll go on to the ladies' games now. In the little LJFA League, there's a few games this weekend. I think it's a full round of fixtures. We'll start off at Division 1, and the first game is at 2:30 on Saturday. You have Cork against Mayo in Parky Rin, or I think it's in Mallow, actually. So, interesting game considering Cork, they've lost the last few games. They haven't won since match day one against Galway. They've been in dreaded form. Obviously, a lot of players have left the panel. You have Kieran O'Sullivan, Dermot O'Sullivan are gone. You have Katie Cork, who's injured, is a huge loss for Cork. And then you have Mayo, who have Maria Cannon on form, and Lisa Cafferty, who's the top scorer from play in Division 1 so far. So, looking at all the stats there, despite Cork being at home, you'd imagine Mayo will win that game.
Yeah, I probably would say Mayo will win that game. Like, Lisa Caffrey's in sensational form. She was absolutely tearing it up, as you mentioned, like, top scorer from play or one of them. Cork, I watched them particularly against Kerry. And it just seemed to me like nobody wanted to shoot apart from Katie Quirk. It's like anytime they got near the Kerry goal, they were trying anything they could to work the ball to Katie Quirk. And I was like genuinely frustrating to watch because I was like, will you shoot for God's sake? Stop being so predictable. Stop hand passing it back to Katie. Because Kerry, you figured it out. Kerry, you're like, we just need to stand on your right foot. And like, use that and scoring if we do that. And Kerry had them figured out and cruised to a pretty comfortable victory that day against Cork. And like, Cork have the dynasty and the legacy of that team of the 2000s that won 11 All-Irelands in 12 years. But that legacy counts for nothing in sports. Like, Manchester United, they're your perfect example. Like, in terms of like a sports example to give of how history, yeah, it's great. Doesn't mean anything for the present day. And Cork need to carry it on and get a victory quick, because if I'm right in saying, they haven't won since the first round. So it's dramatically dropped off quickly. And even in that win, they beat Galway in round one, but Katie Quirk scored everything for them that day. I think they won 1-5 to 6 points or something, and Katie Quirk scored 1-5. So it shows how incredibly reliant they were. And then on top of that, Galway haven't got a win. So it's not like they beat a team that nobody else is beating. They beat a team that everybody else has beat.
Yeah.
So Cork haven't done anything that has gone against the grain. A game against Mayo is massive for them. But I think without Katie, I only see Mayo winning this one. Like, Lisa Caffrey's in sensational form. She was tearing it up against Dublin. Yeah, I think Mayo win this one.
Yeah, it'd be very difficult to see Cork go on ahead and win this game. And speaking of, well, we were speaking of bottom of the table, the Tashers there with Cork and Galway, obviously, in match day one. But we're speaking of a top of the table clash now, first against second, to be precise, Armagh against Kerry in Armagh on Sunday at 1 p.m. And yeah, Armagh are in brilliant form after being promoted from Division 2 last year. You have Amy Mackin on form. You obviously have Ethan McCoy there on form as well. And even look at their scores this year. Kelly Mallett is their second top scorer. You have Laura McConville there. Caroline O'Hanlon is doing another year with Armagh. I don't know how she keeps going. It's incredible. And then you look at Kerry. They brought in a lot of the newer generation players into this league campaign. It's still, Louise de Verhertig is still the top scorer for them, despite playing very few games. She's scored 1-8. Niamh Carberry with 10 points. Emma Dineen with 1-7. Daniel O'Leary with 1-4. You have girls like Jane Lucy coming in. Niamh de Crohor. You have Amy Harrington, who's done really well around the middle for Kerry this year. So this is an intriguing game to keep an eye on.
It certainly is. And Kerry are definitely motoring along nicely, because they're getting minutes into the likes of Katie Brosnan, Emma Dineen, who was player of the match against Dublin in match day one. Jaden Lucy looked really good in that game as well. I think she scored within the first 15 seconds against Dublin, so it was the perfect start to her career, because that whole full forward line made the debut against Dublin in round one. But the reality is that even though that they've got these minutes into these guys, it's still been the senior campaigners who have been the difference. I know Emma Dineen got player of the match against Dublin and was fully deserving, but I personally thought watching that game against Dublin that Niamh Carmody was just probably the best player on the pitch that night. Like, just every time Kerry looked like they were under the cosh, they just gave the ball to Niamh Carmody and she just calmed the storm, get a free, she'd draw a foul, she'd, you know, play a clever pass and go for the return. And she just always seemed to have just this extra second on the ball for Kerry. She's massively important to how they do things. Louise Niverhertig being introduced, that got them over the line against Waterford as well, because Waterford had them under the cosh until Louise came in. And then Louise came in the 47th minute. I think she finished with 1-4 or 1-6 or something ridiculous coming in at such a late stage. So she's an incredible, incredible footballer. And, like, showed why she's player of the year there. As you said as well, but Louise Galvin coming in. I can't remember what game was it. Louise Galvin came in off the bench in midfield. I think it was the last game Kerry played and was unbelievable. I think I'm mixing it up with the Cork game and the Mayo game. But, like, she was genuinely brilliant when she came in off the bench and really, really made a difference as Kerry kind of got their upper hand in the midfield. So while Amy Harrington, yes, has been brilliant at midfield, Louise Galvin's still, like, their best midfielder. So it definitely is really, really interesting to see what type of team they start to go with as the league draws towards its conclusion. Yeah, I think Armagh on the flip side are flying. And it is crazy, like, that when you look at Amy Mackin comes back and they just, all of a sudden they start winning games. Like, it's just, Mackin is just unbelievable. And she comes back in, tucks away a goal in the first game, tucks away a goal in the second game. Armagh win 2-2. Niamh Coleman is brilliant. Kelly Mallon is brilliant. Bláthnaid Mackin is brilliant. I know she's injured, but if she comes back in later on in the year, that's another massive, massive boost in the team. Aoife McCoy as well, as you said, is fantastic. Clodagh McCambridge, Caroline O'Hanlon. They have a brilliant squad. And personally, because it's in Armagh, I actually do fancy Armagh. They're riding high with such confidence. And Kerry have rolled their luck a few times. Like, they did ride their luck against Waterford. You know, they drew against Mayo, 8 points each. I think that there's a slip up in Kerry somewhere. And I think Armagh will be there to catch them.
Yeah, I'm going to back Armagh to go on and win that game as well. And moving on to the third game of Division 1, you have Dublin travelling down to Waterford at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Should be an interesting game considering Waterford got their first win, obviously, as we mentioned before, and against Cork in the last game. And that has really eased relegation fears in many ways. But this is going to be a different test for them. Brilliant performances, obviously, by Laura McGregor, Kellyanne Hogan, in particular for Patricia. But you look at Dublin, Kate Sullivan's in the form of her life at the moment. You've new players coming in, like Kate Murray and Annabelle Timothy, who've done absolutely brilliant in the league campaign so far. Hannah Terrell and Carla Rohr still knocking about as well. So it's almost like Dublin are mixing the older guard with the newer guard. And that has to be a good sign for Dublin. And it's almost like the men's carbon copy, really.
Yeah, no, big time. And like Hannah Tiro came back in and just immediately the confidence in the team kind of goes up, because Hannah and Carla are like the best shooters that Dublin have in the forward line. And against Kerry in round one, Dublin looked like they were running the same plays that they ran in last year's final, but they just didn't have Hannah Tiro to take the shot at the end of the move. So it's like the girls got very confused as to like, okay, who's taking the shot? And none of them really wanted to pull the trigger the way that Hannah Tiro is always ready to pull the trigger. So in this game, it's massively important that Dublin, you know, don't let Waterford get off to a great start, because Waterford will be absolutely flying after. It's not that they beat Cork, it's the way they beat them. They swept them. That was an easy win for Waterford, and I wasn't expecting it to go like that at all. But Waterford have shown, especially down there, like Kerry went down there and Waterford had two goals in the back of the net very early on. I think it was inside 10 minutes, Waterford had two goals. So Dublin will know that Waterford can catch them. And I think Mick Bohan, very shrewd operator. I think he was burnt by the first 2 weeks where Dublin lost to Kerry and then lost to Meath as well. I think the Mayo game, Dublin were trailing at halftime quite comfortably. I think in the second half, Dublin came out and absolutely ripped Mayo up. And since then, you know, we haven't lost. We went and we beat Galway then in the next round. Look, we shouldn't have won the game against Galway. Like, let's call a spade. Galway were 2 points clear going into, deep into injury time. Galway were 2 points clear. Not only, Dublin didn't even score a goal. Dublin scored 3 points to win the game. So how we got out of there with the win, don't get it wrong, full credit to the girls for, you know, keeping the fighting spirit up and snatching the win at the end. But Galway were the better team for the majority of that game. So Mick Bohan will be demanding a better performance. I think Dublin will get out of Waterford with a win.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Dublin to win that game. And speaking of Galway, still pointless after four games. They're playing against Meath at home on Sunday at 2 p.m. Meath are brilliant form. Emma Duggan, who's Vicky Wall, more or less, because she scored 23 points in this league campaign. The top scorer, Division 1. You have Kira Smith doing well as well. You have Ail Vilahi. You have Shelley Melia as well, doing excellent in the league campaign. Mara Shotnessy coming in midfield. So Meath do the newer guard coming in, while the likes of Neva Sullivan retired earlier in the year. If Vicky Wall going to rugby as well. So that was a bit difficult to take for Meath, but they do have players coming through. As for Galway, 0 points, as I mentioned, after four games. You would expect Meath to win the game, but considering you mentioned the fight that Galway showed in the last game against Dublin, does that give the Tribes women any hope of getting a win here?
It does. They definitely have the ability to. Like, there's players like Nicola Ward, Eva Noon, like, that are genuinely cracking footballers. And if they get going, like Alva Davern was outstanding against Dublin as well at midfield, and she's a brilliant, brilliant player. Galway have the talent to win this game, but there seems to be something stopping them that I just don't really understand why they can't just make a click, why they can't just, you know, get everybody singing from the same hymn sheet and get these victories. Because Galway shouldn't be in a position where they're winless after four games in the league. They shouldn't be. They have too talented a team to be in this situation. But Meath is a very tricky one, because Meath beat Mayo in the Connacht GAA Dome. They beat them well. They beat Dublin. Like, they've put in some really, really good performances. And on top of that, Maeve Byrne and Marion Sullivan, they're two new faces in the team, and they've been brilliant for me. Like, Marion Sullivan and Maeve Byrne, they scored the goals against Dublin, which were the crucial scores in Meath beating Dublin. It's a type of game where Meath have been slightly inconsistent since their All-Ireland winning days, so I could see maybe Galway taking this one, but to be safe, I'm going to go Meath. I think if you were to tell me which team is going to turn up closer to 100%, I think Meath. I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Meath win as well. And judge by the time, we can't really discuss Division 2, Division 3, Division 4 because we just don't have the time. But we will discuss a bit of the Camogie action. Division 1B is in action this weekend. And we have three games here. Kerry against Dublin at 1 p.m. on Saturday. You have Wexford against Antrim at 2 p.m. on Saturday. And you have Limerick against Down at 1 p.m. on Saturday as well. Any opinions on them, Seamus? Like, to me, it looks like Dublin would be Kerry. Wexford should have enough for Antrim. And Limerick might just have enough for Down too.
Yeah, Dublin should beat Kerry. Yeah, I mean, if we don't, there'd be serious questions. I mean, Aisling Maher will probably lead the way to us for victory there. I mean, she scored 10 points against Wexford and always has been, since she broke into Dublin team, she's been the leading light and the driving force towards the success of that team. Wexford beating Dublin, like, they'll be riding a high as well. They'll probably expect to pick up another win. And then Limerick against Down, wasn't it? Limerick absolutely slaughtered Kerry last week. I think it was 323 to 4 points or something. So they're riding the crest of a wave as well. They have players like Alva Lark and Sarah Carey in the team, like, that are, you know, cracking players. And I expect Limerick will win this game against Down. I think that Limerick are just riding a little bit of a high. I expect them to carry on into this win. I think it's between Limerick, Dublin and Wexford for who goes up.
Yeah,
Antrim. It's hard to know where they're at. Roisin McCormack obviously is a brilliant, absolutely unbelievable player. Apart from that, I don't really know where they're getting the scores from.
Maeve Kelly, possibly, good player back in the year. Yeah, like, they do have exciting players. Antrim, no doubt about it. Like, even Limerick, Rebecca Delee's done really well at the moment. So I'd be hoping Limerick go up. Obviously, in college at Limerick at the moment, and hopefully they do the business, but we'll have to see come the end of the league campaign. So we're on 1 hour 36 minutes, so I think we better call it a day. Thanks for anybody that viewed the podcast, and thanks to our sponsors today at Capture Athletics. Get the gear from that website if you haven't already, and if you haven't checked that website already, I don't know what to think of you. So, check Capture Athletics out if you haven't already. So, thanks, Seamus, for coming on to the podcast once again today. And until the next time, guys, we'll see you next time, and take care.